thank you for joining us day one of the Aintree Grand National Festival here on the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. Ruby Walsh and Frank Hickey join me, Patrick Connelly, to look at hopefully finding a few winners. And we're going to start, folks. No messing about, no pleasantries. The 145 is the Manifesto Novice Chase. It is the, I suppose, the JLT, the marsh of the Aintree Festival, we call it, 2.5 miles. Ruby, I'm going to come to you first. 7 runners, unfortunately. Not the greatest grade one, I think it's fair to say. Our old friend, the Shunter, is there, though.
Yeah, I'll rate 153, leaves him kind of a couple of pounds wrong with Fusil Raffles, who heads the betting. Thought Fusil Raffles ran really well in the marsh. You know, when Sean Blue picked it up down the back, he pushed Fusil Raffles all the way, and he just had a harder race than he probably needed. But I do fancy him back in a level track and suit Fusil Raffles. Bit of good ground. I think it's a big step from the handicap to Shunter one to this. I know he was really impressive and he was always doing a half speed, but you'd like to think Fusil Raffles, Hitman, Eldorado Allen, even Protectorate off a mark of 140 would have been as competitive in that handicap chase.
True. So Fusil Raffles, Ruby. Frank, your thoughts on the novice chase?
Agree with the Shunter, like he was really impressive, but you should remember he won that off mark 140 and he had a 7 pound claim on board as well. A very good 130, 7 pound claim.
Yeah, 133.
Yeah, and then you're talking about, like, you know, a 13 pound rise in a handicap, which you fancy off 153 in a handicap. I'm not sure. I'd be with Ruby here at Fusil Raffles. I thought he ran a cracker in the marsh. And just when you analyze it, when they realized that Infoilen was gone, I think Harry Skelton wanted to turn into a stamina test, and he obviously took over the seven fence and went hard. And Fusil Raffles, to be fair, Darren Jacob, he took and pulled him back, and he didn't go too hard. You know, he didn't chase him and race too far out, and he gave him every chance, but it just set the race up for Chantry House, who's, I think, a 3 miler really, in essence, and will be running over that trip, I'd say, at Aintree this week and all next season. But Fusil Raffles ran a cracker, I think. The return to flat track, as Ruby said, really suit. He was really impressive as a juvenile hurdler at Kempton, and he was really good at Utoxer at the start of the year as well, which is another flat track. Look, he's favourite, but I think he deserves to be in. When you look at what type of horse wins this race, it's generally a horse that was beaten in the marsh, and you have the odds battered in the horses that were stepping up from the Arkle. But for me, Fusil Raffles to take a bit of beating.
2 votes for Fusil Raffles. On to the 220, the Doom Bar anniversary four-year-old juvenile, the triumph of the Aintree Festival. Just the 6 runners. Odds on as we speak, Monmorala 4-5, 2-1 then for Adagio. According to the betting, Frank, the rest don't count.
I think it's a match. I really do. Look, Adagio ran a cracker in the Triumph, to be fair. Should my tight run really well in second, but for me, Monmorala deserves to be favourite. I think he'll win. You have a bit of a line with the 2 horses too, with Nassalam of Gary Moore. Adagio beat him in the Grade 1 finale hurling at Chepstow by 2.5 lengths. Monmorala beat him 7.5 lengths at Haydock. Look, you can't take it, you know, literally, but I just liked the way Monmorala has been running. He's had 4 starts over hurdles. He's bolted up each time. I think Paul Nicholls kind of realised that the Irish were probably too good in the Triumph. I think he's made a wise decision skipping it and coming here.
Oh, the Brits didn't do too bad. They got second with Adagio. Ruby, your thoughts?
I'm a Monmorala fan as well. When I watched him win in Exeter, I thought he might be vulnerable at Doncaster, being a faster track, but he absolutely hosed up and was even better at Haydock. I'm Monmorala all the way.
Oh, this is 2 races, 2 people very much convinced, 2 favourites. Let's see if we can continue. The Betway-sponsored bowl is the 250 at Aintree. And Frank, did you price this up before I intro it? Do you know? Oh, obviously you'll know if you did or not.
I did at the initial stage, yeah.
Okay. I'll tell you what, you're going to get a phone call from Eddie O'Leary and he's going to say, how on earth could Tiger Roll be 5-1 in this race? Because he should be 50-1, judging by the things they're saying. But as we speak, favourite for the race is the Cheek Piece for the first time, Clan de Zobo, 9-4, 130 Native River, 7-2 Waiting Patiently, 5-1 No Chance Tiger Roll, and 8-1 of Bigger the Rest. Frank, your thoughts?
Look, Ruby made a point in one of our earlier podcasts about Tiger O's record around, you know, your standard, you know, normal fences. And I completely agree. I just think, look, he's improved for the cross-country challenge, the challenge to Grand National. And, like, while ratings give him a big chance, I wouldn't be keen on him at all. For me, Candace Upo, didn't like the way he went through the race at Kempton. Maybe he didn't like the fact that it became tactical and turned into a bit of a sprint. But then with Newbury, he couldn't beat Secret Investor. And just for me, yeah, I want to be taking him on as well. And for me, there's one horse to take him on, which that's Waiting Patiently. That King George at Christmas was the first time he'd got to run at 3 miles properly, because the only other time he tented it, he was unseating the King George. And he was given a hold up right, I imagine, you know, with getting the trip in mind. But because it turned so tactical and developed into a bit of a sprint, he was poorly positioned and was staying on late to finish second. I think you could probably make the argument that he's nearly come out the best horse in the race from where he was positioned. And they obviously dropped him back to 2 miles to the Clarence House. And again, wasn't disgrace in third, beating about, what, 8-ish lengths. But nothing got into that race bar the front two, Politologue and First Flow. So you wouldn't be knocking him on the back of that. But he has been a pretty consistent horse. The only thing you would say, he hasn't won since winning the Betfair Chase in 2018. It is 3 years ago. But for me, I'd take a chance of Waiting Patiently getting his head in front here.
He hasn't run too often in those 3 years either. Ruby, your thoughts?
Oh, Mr. Fisher. I think he was the only horse that could land a glove on Aloha and Main in the early stages of the Ryanair chase. He made a bad mistake at the 9th and again at the 12th and the 14th, which put an end to his chance. He raced a bit keenly. Look, I think Ned River would book out and go here. If they could get a bit of cover and get Mr. Fisher to switch off, I'd be for him. 7-year-old improving, stepping up and trip. He'll do me.
Nice price too. Mr. Fisher and Waiting Patiently, the two selections for the 250. The 325 is the Aintree Hurdle. 2.5 miles, grade one, of course. This can certainly suit some horses that don't have a race at Cheltenham. A nice field here. 11 runners going to post. McFabulous is favoured as we speak at 130 with Abracadabras at the same price. 5-1 Brewing Up a Storm. 9-2 Jason the Middleton. 6-1 Song for Someone. Ruby, your thoughts?
Hard race, get a handle on. I don't really see why. How McFabulous turns the form of Brewing Up a Storm from Fontwell. I thought Brewing Up a Storm was head and shoulders the better horse on that occasion. If Pong for Someone hadn't run him in Canton, I'd probably be fancying him, but he did run him in Canton and he was shocking disappointed on that occasion. I think there's enough of pace with Silver Streak and Not So Sleepy, and Jason the Middleton likes to be up there too. McFabulous will probably force it along. I think it could all suit Abracadabra. I'm not his biggest fan, but I think he'd stay. I think it could really suit him. If I had a worry, I'm just not certain that the yard is absolutely flying. I know the horse ran well, Run Wild Fred ran well in the Irish National, but they had plenty of horses that were a bit disappointing in various over the last couple of days. That would be my chief concern with him, but I think he's probably the one all the same.
Abracadabra for a bit of magic around Aintree. Frank, your thoughts?
That's a tricky race. Like, you're even looking at Booper Dare at 10s and going, geez, did he come back to anywhere? Like, this is not, like, he's not going to need to run to high 160s here. I think, like, if you run to 160, you have a right chance of winning. But for me, I'm going to take a chance at Jason the Militant for Henry and Rachel. Second season hurdler, if you go back to last year, he won a grade two Nace beating Beacon Edge and Andy Dufresne. Andrew Fresney. that's decent enough. Started off the season winning a flat maiden over 10 furlongs at Fairy House. Was third to Aspire Tower and Abracadabra. I think it was a bob of the head between him and Abracadabra that day in the WKD hurdle. And was beaten half a length in the Morgiana behind Abracadabra as well. But he was staying on that day again. He was given a mid-season break. And I have a feeling this might have been the plan the whole while. Just the timing of it. He ran in the Red Mills trial at Fairy House, rescheduled to Fairy House, when he beat Petit Mouchoir very easily, despite conceding 9 pounds. And Petit Mouchoir ran a cracker in the county hurdle and then went second off mark 155. I think there's a small question mark around the ground because he's been running on soft and heavy nearly all his career. But I think that might be alleviated a little bit by the stepping up and trip to 2.5 miles. I think it might really suit him. And yeah, just at the he was 7-1 this morning. There's obviously been a few bob for him and he's into 92, but I think he's got a decent chance.
Jason the Militant and Abracadabra, two to watch out for in the Aintree Hurdle.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Let's pop over the national fences for the first time at the Aintree Festival. It's the Fox Hunters over 2 miles, 5 furlongs. Again, as you'd expect, we've got a few horses who ran in the Aintree version, or the Cheltenham version, very different trip there. Billaway, 3-1, Cat Tiger. David Maxwell rides that one for Paul Nichols, owns obviously and rides, and could have gone with Bob and Co, I imagine, but that's not declared. Also towards the top of the bend, you've got Somatic Owl, also for Paul Nichols, Will Biddick, Some Man, 8-1, and then double figure odds, Rest Ruby. Straight to you, how's Billaway?
He's in good form, but I don't think he had any excuses in Cheltenham. I thought he jumped well, travelled well, was always in a good position, but just didn't collect. And I'm not certain coming back in trip is what he wants either. And I don't. There's no point in me waffling here now, PK. My Hunter Chase form knowledge would be pretty shabby, but I would be concerned about the trip for Billaway.
Okay. So a bit of a negative on Billaway backers. Frank, have you gone through some more detail?
We have two against the field. We're paying four places. One at a respectable price, and one at a bigger price. The first one, Some Man, is it David Christie is the trainer? Really liked the way he won at Down Royal the last day, dropped in trip. I think it was just shy of 2.5 miles on better ground. That was his first time on better ground in a long time. Went out in front, jumped well, just cruised around, just the way he won. Really liked it. I thought that style of racing, if he takes the fences here, would really suit. Like, you could see him getting into a rhythm out in the the first couple. And at around the 8-1 mark, I thought he could go really well. I like Barry O'Neill's jockey as well. I think he's very good. And the other one is a bit more left field, and it's Calaro Boy for Henry Oliver. But this horse was trained by Adrian Murray in Ireland, switched to Henry Oliver in May 2019. I think the ground is massively important to him. When he had his first start for Henry Oliver in a 100 chase of work, he absolutely hacked up from a horse called Markle Ridge, beaten by 9 lengths, despite conceding 3 pounds. That Markle Ridge isn't a bad 100 chase horse at all. He went to Cheltenham the following season and finished sixth in It Came to Passes, Fox Hunter win. So he's a fair tool, and he beat him very easily. And that season then, Calaro Boy was just touched off in the Summer Cup, but you talked off America 132. He had 2 runs at Aintree then, the following season, which would have been last season, the first over the normal fences. He was second off a mark of 137, and then he ran in the Grand Sefton, where he finished, I think, 8th, but it doesn't tell the story at all. I went back and watched the race this morning. Himself and Federici took each other on in front the whole way, and he jumped relatively well, I thought, the whole way, but they went too hard. Federici ended up being pulled up. He just couldn't keep going at all. They went so hard. And Calaro Boy actually led to just before the second last fence and weakened from there. And I just thought that ground was soft as well that day. On better ground, he's got a much better chance than 20-1, I think. But on saying that, I can actually see him drifting. I can see him being more like 33-1 or even 40-1 in the place come tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow evening. But go back and watch that run in the Grand Sefton, considering the ground was against him. And now he's switching from a really competitive handicap to a Fox Hunter chase. I wouldn't rule him out. And even the last day at Leicester, you'd look at him go, he's 22 lengths behind Cat Tiger, again on soft grounds. Watch it. He's cruising through the race and he slips on the bend and nearly comes down and then gets back on the bridle, but obviously his chance is completely gone. So you can put a line through that completely. And just one at a price, just go back and watch the Leicester run and the Aintree run.
Okay.
He's got a big chance.
So Ruby didn't do much research on the Fox Hunters. Frank, I think you've covered him. I think you've covered him. I'd say this is the only tipping podcast to mention the Uttoxeter Summer Cup. And, and you covered that one off with the form of Calaro Boy there. One of your two selections in the race. Remind me, the other one was seen so long ago. Some Man was the other one.
Some Man,
I always feel a little bit kind of like, geez, is that all Red Rum gets? The Red Rum handicap is what he gets. And it's the 440 on the card entry. Either of you have selections in this race? It's tricky.
Yeah, I thought Zanza was disappointing at Cheltenham. Mian Nolan takes over the ride. He pulled up in the Grand Annual, and from memory of watching the race live on the day, I think he made a very bad mistake early enough in the race at the second fence, and that put him in a pretty awkward position. Tried to make headway into midfield, and badly hampered by a follow and dropped to rear at the ninth. Didn't go for him on the day. I think he's been overlooked in the market because of it. Micheál Nolan rising for Philip Hobbs. A chance him each way at 9-1.
Zanza for Ruby. Frank?
think On the Slope's got a good chance. He was an excellent fourth, the Grand Annual, and I think this track might even suit him better. His last two wins came at Kempton, which another flat track, and you see a lot of horses run well at Kempton and Aintree, and it's going the other way around. But the one I like from a price perspective is Great Diamond for Sam Thomas. He's improved in all three starts and switching from Nigel Twist and Davis. Was third at Newbury, second at Sandown, both on heavy ground. But then he got good ground at Sandown the last day off Mark 128 and bolted in. Travelled very easily and quick and nicely after last. He's gone got six pounds for last, but I think that's fair. He's only seven. And as I said, even look at his hurdles for him, good ground seems to be relatively important to him. The thing I noticed then when I went through to Sam Thomas, the yard remained in good form. But this season, his strike rate is 29% for the whole season, which is phenomenal. It's amazing. And just Great Diamond. Again, he was 16 to 1 with us this morning. He's still 12 to 1, 14 to 1 in the place. With five places, that'll do me.
Okay. Couple for you in the Red Rum handicap. The closer on day one at Aintree is the Mayor's Bumper, the Grade 2. Normally, the bumper is booked for export back to Ireland. This occasion, it's going to be long odds on that it stays at home. Do you think just the one Irish representative, and it's Arthur Moore who saddles one in Me Too, Please. I'm going to start with you, Frank, because you've been looking forward to this race for a long time between these two mares.
Yeah, look, Ella Bell ran a cracker in the Champion Bumper to be fair to finish third, and she wasn't beaten that far. She's beaten seven lengths in the end, like she wasn't disgraced at all. But this Eileen Toe has looked an absolute machine so far. And you have to remember, she's only a four-year-old as well, so she's going to get £6 off Ella Bell. I'd be thinking she might beat Ella Bell off levels. So it's going to be very difficult for her. Like, she's won her three bumpers, 29 lengths in Huntingdon, 16 lengths in Weatherby, and 6.5 lengths in Market Racing. The Market Racing race was a listed bumper. She bolted in. Then you look at the horses behind her have done. Grangie was third, came out and won a Grade 2 Mayor's Bumper Dublin Race Festival, and finished sixth in the Champion Bumper. And the fourth was Dragon Bones, who went to Doncaster and won on her hurdles debut in a listed hurdle. And like, she's beaten them census. Like, she's even money with us. I'd be surprised if she's anywhere near that.
Really?
I think she'll go off shorter. She should, I think, on what she's done. Like, I think it really is a match. And like, she, Ella Bell, it's how she's come out of Cheltenham as well. I think I'll know her. Yeah, I'd be thinking she might go off close to 4 to 5, 8 to 11.
Wow. Ruby, any thoughts on the Mayor's Bumper?
I leaned over. Game over.
Two votes for I leaned over in the last. Listen, lads, thank you very much for your thoughts on day one of Aintree. We'll be back with the views on day two and day three and on, of course, featuring the Grand National. But until then, stay safe, stay well, stay lucky. Back those winners at Aintree, folks.